Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, good evening all around the world, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. And if you have any needs whatsoever or any questions you want to ask, please email or text us. Text Donald during the show and let us know if you have a question, anything that's concerned you or desire to know more about. We're going to go back into an element that sometimes might be a little bit disturbing to people, but most people don't know in depth. Some of you may, and we may reinforce some things with some of you, or we may give you some things you have never thought about, scripturally and otherwise. But Donald, can you tell them what the title of this is tonight?
Yes, the title of this article is coming from Would You Be Wise? That's
Would You Be
the
Wise?
Name of the article. If you go to the if you go to Deeper Truth Radio, if you go to The Guardian Angel, found on Deeper Truth blog, The Guardian Angel, Would You Be Wise? And that's the article that we're using tonight. And this is part two in the radio series on Eucharistic miracles. This is important.
Awesome. Yes, it is. It's so important and that we're going to reinforce and expand tonight, but we're going to also leave ourselves open to maybe go on a third segment of this even next week as an element of part of what we do for the Eucharistic miracles and for what can influence or make a difference in your life on this. It's so important. So I'm going to start out with a quote that I mentioned last week, Donald, just to initiate. This is for every one of you to answer yourselves. Would you knowingly give any aid and comfort to any enemy determined to hurt, kill, and enslave you and everyone that you love and know? Or worse yet, would you sit back in silence and let anyone put the children at risk of going to hell for eternity? Guys, it's one of the primary things that we do, and I know that the Deeper Truth has come alongside of the Marian Association that as we try to make souls our primary purpose every day. Why we're alive, to try to bring souls to the good Lord, to glorify Him, to honor His mother, and defend His bride, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. There's a lot of people I would suggest we're going to be talking to tonight that are intelligent, but there's something even to a higher level that needs to be addressed, Donald. And would you read the chapter in James, first chapter, 5-8?
Okay. It says, James chapter 1, 5-8, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let
Hold
him
on.
Ask
what,
God.
If they lack what?
Wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord, poverty and riches.
Guys, the good Lord loves you so much, and He wants you to do it. He wants you to do it of your own free will, but wisdom takes a chair even higher than intelligence, because hopefully intelligent people will be wise, but it's not necessarily so. And, you know, and everyone at all levels, especially, you know, a lot of times when people depend on their own intelligence, many times Satan can trick them or cause them to be trapped in his ways because he's more intelligent than people. That's why we talk about wisdom and the importance of having wisdom, because if we want to do anything properly when we're serving the good Lord and His mother, it's to ask the Holy Spirit to guide our steps. Because as individuals, He can take us down. Satan can take us down. So we need to know our faith. We need to know Scripture. We need to know what the immutable teachings of the Church. And as we learn those things of depositive faith, you know, and know it as a, yes, we have to be intelligent to get to that point. But wisdom is what is to know what's the most important on something. And the wisdom is to have the Holy Spirit guide our steps, because we we can mess up big time. We're frail human beings. God knows that, and that's why he even starts the Our Father as he did. But we'll get into that as we go forward, but it's so, so important. Let's start tonight again with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the titles of Mary, seat of wisdom, and Donald read a scripture passage telling the importance of wisdom and asking without a double mind, asking for God's wisdom, not our own. I just had a daughter. My daughter that's not back in the church yet. You know, she just was. Whenever I bring up things, sometimes she bites me a little bit on it. But she will say something, you know, thinking that what we're telling her from Scripture, you know, well, that's your opinion. I said, no, I don't have opinions when I'm teaching the good Lord. I just key in on the truth because that's what will set people free. But they got to know the truth to be set free. And that's why we're doing what we're doing tonight, so that you may know the truth. Satan does not want you to know what you're going to learn tonight. So pay attention, write notes if you need to, and ask us questions if you need to, okay? God bless each of you as we get started here. And Donald, I'll take a couple of sections, and then if you would help me out, you take a couple of sections.
Okay.
I'm going to start out, the first one I'm going to start out with tonight is the devil exists and can be known. Just like God exists and can be known, guys. The devil exists and can be known. Now, the difference between God and the devil, and that, just in that, is that the devil doesn't want you to know he exists. He wants people to be weak in that because he knows he can trap them easier and take them away from God. And God, just in the opposite way, wants you to know that the devil is real, that he exists. First, by way of introduction, the devil exists and can be known. I cannot tell you how widespread is disbelief in the evil spirit, especially among those who are supposed to be teachers of the faith in the Catholic Church. That's a sadness that I've recognized over time, exactly what they're saying there. So you need to know so that if you sit down in one of those things, I know you'd have a good heart to sit down, because the RCIA program is supposed to try to help people come into the church. But sometimes, you know, they try to just tell all the positives in the church, and we need to tell them the positives, but we also need to let them know in their weakness the things that can happen to trap them and make them weak, even as we plant seeds can make it weak in their faith, because Satan is smarter than everyone listening. Except the good Lord, he listens all the time. So, but for all of us human beings, Satan is smarter than we are. But the subject is so vast, you know, we're going to try to just, you know, we can't prove the existence of the evil spirit, you know. It is rather to describe both how the evil spirit operates and how we are to cope with his demonic activity. Very important for you to know these things, guys, so listen up. And if we make any mistakes, please let us know. It is part of the church's infallible teachings that the devil exists. The occasion for the church's definition was the rise of two heresies. One in the late 4th century called Manichaeism, and another in the 13th century called Albigensianism, to indicate what kind of persons the devil can seduce. Now listen to this. Hopefully you know this name, because if you don't, you need to get into one of the saints, and I know Donald has written articles on him before. Saint Augustine is one of the greatest doctors of the church, and one of the ones, as one of the great doctors of the church, has over the centuries helped many people clarify the teachings of the church. But St. Augustine was into Manichaeism for 9 years. Can you imagine when you see all his writings today, you say, how in the world did they capture that guy? Because he does have a great intelligence, but his wisdom was in his own, I would say, his own pride and somewhat arrogance. And I relate to it because I was there at one time myself. When I was superintendent of schools, I actually had a thought in my mind, what can you tell me that I don't already know? You know, and when we don't open up to the truth, because that's the only thing that can set you free, even if it steps on our toes a little bit, we've got to know the truth, and that's why we're trying to help you with this right now. But also in the 13th century, St. Dominic was, we may say, brought into the church by the Holy Spirit to found the order of preachers, the Dominicans. And the occasion for the rise of the Dominican order was the resurgence of Manichaeism, but now under the name of Albigensianism. So, again, what did they believe? Donald, can you tell what the heresies were about?
Well, the Manichaeans was very much like the today, secular humanism today. That's what it was. It was a humanistic reasoning, and it was pleasureized. And that was what St. Augustine had been, you know, that's what he had become involved in. But through the prayers of his mother, St. Monica, she prayed for 30 years that the Lord would make himself real to him. And he finally, and he did, transform his life preaching and teaching at St. Ambrose. And he was received into the church and became a great bishop. And we're so thankful for what he has meant to the Catholic Church in those formative years.
And I'm going to suggest it wasn't his intelligence that brought him in. It was the wisdom first of his mother praying. That was the power behind him coming in, was her prayers.
Yeah.
She would, and because of that prayers, he came in. And there was an element of having his mind open, and the help with that was the St. Ambrose, who's one of the doctors of the church also, who helped helped her bring him forward with the truth. Because the truth, you know, is truth, you just have to tell the truth, and it's like a lion. It'll take care of itself when it goes out into the world.
This Albigensianism, it was a heresy in Europe that was at that time known as Cartharism, and it was in southern France, and it held that the universe was a battleground between good and evil, which was evil, which was spirit, and evil, which was matter. Human beings were believed to be spirits trapped in physical bodies, and this is what, St. Augustine would combat, as well as St. Dominic and the Rosary.
Amen. Amen. And when you mentioned France, actually 40 dioceses, that's 40 of your bishops and more, that were perverted by these teachings. And one of the ones that's helped over the centuries majorly, my favorite, doctor of the church, Saint Thomas Aquinas, and he did a great treatment of these things on the evil spirit in Catholic theology. So this is the start, guys. Now the second part, the devil came in existence as a result of free will. That's something the good Lord doesn't mess with our free will, since he's always been that way, because he wants people to do the right thing because it's right, and not out of our own wisdom. To ask him for help. Anyone that is listening right now, if you question something at all that you need an answer to, that no one's given you the answer that you need at the moment in time, ask the good Lord. He won't leave you an orphan. He will bring the truth to you. Now, then it's your free will, just like Satan and weak Christians. It's your free will to say yes or no. And the good Lord, because he doesn't want you to be a little robot. He wants you to come to him because you want to. But the self-will of Satan, you know, he appears in the dawn of history. And, in fact, that's how the devil first came into existence. The devil came into existence when the angels created by God and put on probation. We don't know how many, but very many refused to submit to God, to the God who created them. Now, can you imagine that? Somebody, God himself, the creator of all things, created them, but they wanted out of their own self-will, they wanted to be like God, and they wanted people to worship them, you know. But unlike the devils who were not given a chance to repent, which St. Ignatius makes a great deal of to remind us how grateful we should be for two things, that we were created as rational human beings, and that unlike the fallen angels, we have been redeemed and can repent. We're all sinners. So right now you're listening to a sinner that's talking to sinners. We're all sinners. And thanks to God's mercy, the church teaching for magisterium and Catholic spirituality. I cannot exaggerate the role of the evil spirit in the great writings of the spiritual masters over the centuries. In other words, we don't begin to understand Catholic spirituality unless and until we realize that part of that spiritual life is a conflict with the evil spirit. And we're all frail, and the good Lord knows that. And we'll get into why the prayer that he gave us to say and why it's said deliver us from evil. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But right now, Donald, I want to read that next two sections, and we'll just talk about them as we go.
Okay, the devil came into existence as a result of self-will.
No, it's the next.
Now, before you go into that, Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion. And based on, and I think this is important, in Ephesians chapter 5 or 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And this is what we're doing tonight. The devil comes into existence as the result of self-will. The teaching of sacred scripture, the devil appears at the dawn of created history. In fact, that's how the devil first came into existence. The devil came into existence when the angels created by God and put on probation. We don't know how many, but very many refused to submit to the God who created them. In other words, the devils came into existence as the result of self-will. Self-will created the devils, and unlike us, the devils who fell were not given the chance to repent, which St. Ignatius makes a great deal of to remind us how grateful we should be for two things: that we are created as rational human beings, and that unlike the fallen angels, we have been redeemed and can repent. We're all sinners. Thanks to God's mercy, the church's teaching and Catholic spirituality cannot be exaggerated. The role of the evil spirit in the great writings of the spiritual masters over the centuries. In other words, we don't begin to understand Catholic spirituality unless and until we realize that part of that spiritual life is a conflict with the evil spirit. So, Greg, there is a battle going on here, and we're all in it. And so we better...
Maybe part of why so many have a weakness in knowing about Satan is because it's been so indoctrinated in our system. People live with it every day, and maybe they just become immune to it to a degree. You know, they think, well, it's just part of life. Well, it's only part of life because the evil in men created that because they're dupes of Satan to bring people away from the Catholic Church, away from salvation. So go ahead and read that next one, Donald.
We better know how to cope with this evil spirit. Christ could not have been more plain when he began his public ministry. He chose to be first tempted by the devil to teach us that we too will be. Dear Lord, what a safe statement. We'll be tempted by the evil spirit, and we'd better know how to cope with this evil spirit. Still on the introduction, why have lectures on the evil spirit? Why have them? Over the years of my teaching, I've given many lectures in demonology, but I thought I would condense into 8 lectures what is from one perspective. An ocean from another is a mountain. Demonology is a vast science. Why? Because to know that the devil exists and know how they operate and how we are to cope with the demonic operations is part of our faith. And let me tell you, the modern popes, our present one at this time was Pope St. John Paul II, and especially Paul VI, what we saw then beginning to take place in the Catholic Church. What I keep telling one audience after another, the most devastating crisis in the 2,000 years of Catholic history right now is mainly the work of the evil spirit. But we'd better both believe that and know how to cope with the devil. And
amen.
To cope with or to do battle.
Do what?
To do battle. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle and be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. And may God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
And you know,
that should be said.
Go ahead,
should be said every day when they start the day, and every day when they finish the day at night. Should end up with that St. Michael prayer, just asking for the protection.
And that's another good reason to go to confession, because you know when you go to confession, when you walk into the confessional, you could just imagine that you have all this dirt and all this grunge that's just kind of on you, you know. But as you are in the confessional and you proclaim and you tell your sins to the priest, the Lord takes those sins and he cleanses you of those things and cleanses your spirit, making you whole. You know, it's like taking a hole, you know, like when you drive a nail into a piece of wood or something, like a 2x4, and you pull that nail out, what do you have left? You got the hole. And inside the hole, you may have all that grime, right? But what the Holy Spirit does, he takes all the wounds that we bear, and he cleanses us inside and out and makes us a new person, a new creation. That's
Amen.
Why we need to have these sacraments, because the evil spirit, it's not like, you know, when you get up, hit upside the head with something, you know, somebody hits you upside the head, you might feel pain, right? One thing. But there's things that what happened to us that we may not feel pain, like the hearing loss. That's one thing in the military, Greg. People, I've known people, soldiers, that had such hearing loss, they didn't feel a thing because they didn't feel a thing. There's no pain associated with hearing loss. But you find it when you do hearing tests. And you see sometimes people in their 30s and 40s and 50s that's got the hearing of a 70 or 80 year or older, because they were out there firing weapons or doing things, you know, loud noises like that, and they lose their hearing. But likewise, grace, we can, you know, there's what is called the beautiful side of evil. People can be trapped in this beautiful side of evil, temptation. But that's why we must remain strong in our holy Catholic faith. And to take this seriously.
Yes, but if we do it just as people, without the protection of the good Lord,
the Holy Spirit
and his mother, every one of you would deny Christ, except in tough talk. You might tough talk, but some of the best of tough talk and fell. And all of us are susceptible to falling because Satan is smarter than you. And if you want to work just through your – what did Jesus say to Peter during the Last Supper? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Did he not?
Yes, he did. And why did he say that?
Because Peter was
thinking from the human perspective. He didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. And, you know, that would be something that Jesus, that was why he came. And so Peter did not understand, because he loved Peter. I mean, Peter
exactly
loved Jesus.
That's exactly why they could be trapped. Everybody thinks as man. None of you think as God, unless you ask the Holy Spirit to guide your steps, because you're going to fall. If you think like man, Satan will own you. So you got to stand up with your faith in God and ask for the Holy Spirit to guide your steps in everything that has to do with Jesus and Mary and the Catholic Church. Have that as your arsenal, as your first line of everything, and Satan cannot penetrate the Holy Spirit. Once we in our frailty think we can outsmart Satan, he already owns you at that point.
If we need to know where to go, Greg. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. And inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. So we seek refuge. The Lord is our refuge. But Our Lady, she is there with him, and she prays for us.
The devil mainly seduces through the mind, Donald.
Yes.
Again, the phenomenal depth and spread of evil in the modern world, especially, hear it, please hear it. The devil is mainly, as Christ identifies himself, the liar. Anything he says, just don't believe it. In other words, the devil mainly seduces through the mind. Through the mind, you don't begin to cope with demonic temptations unless our minds are thoroughly grounded in not just the meaning, but the understanding of our faith. And let's be honest. The devil is smarter than any human being. Just naturally, he's smarter than all of us. We'll deal with this at length, but the phenomenal depth and spread of evil in the modern world. But please don't forget. Donald, read for a couple minutes there, please.
Okay. We're still in the devil mainly seduces through the mind. And it's important for us to understand that. And so a lot of time it's subliminal, what we call subliminal, the power of suggestion. And you notice in a lot of the secular rock, the power is in repetition, and it sneaks in there with this constant message. And many of us who have watched the Super Bowl this last night, and thank God the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. But if anyone watched that halftime presentation, how that is exactly what we're talking about, because the power of suggestion that they are presenting in a lot of the secular music like this is evil. And it's sinful. And that's how the devil works. He seduces through the mind. And he uses his tricks. So that's why we are, all evil is the result of error. Because the will, which is a product of the will, we change the sentence. Evil, which is a product of the will, depends on the mind sowing error. That is why, may I suggest you read in Matthew's Gospel, both parables, the parable, remember of the good seed, which fell on different kinds of ground. Remember also the parable that follows, that one of the sower might sowing wheat during the day and at night, and then he comes along. Only farmers could think of practicing this kind of hatred. During the night, an enemy of the good farmer sows weeds during the night. And then as both the wheat and the weeds began to grow, remember, the workman told the farmer, weeds are growing up, so shall we pull them out? And no, he said, don't. There's a danger in pulling out the weeds. You're liable to pull out the wheat too. And wait until harvest time. Then we'll pick up both the weeds and the wheat. Then the weeds will be bundled up and throw them into the fire to burn, and the wheat will store in the barns. And so that's why we want to be with the wheat, do we not? Yes, we do.
Amen. You know, and it follows that with a statement
you don't sow what you don't have. We better know the truth and understand it so we can sow the truth. That parable is crucially important that Donald just read to understand what's going on in the world today. There is so much error being sown, and sown sadly in the Catholic circles. Oh, what names I could identify, priests, theologians, bishops, and on and on. And we're asking, why lecture on the evil spirit? Because there is so much error sown by the evil spirit. And we who believe that we possess the truth, and that's the third reason, must be inspired. We must be inspired to what I'm calling the catechetical apostolate, which means sowing the truth. You don't sow what you don't have. If we really want the fullness of truth, we need to have the Holy Spirit and our Mother Mary involved in this, guys. We better know the truth. We better understand it. I never in my wildest dreams expected what has taken place when I should, you know, when I should have been doing what's right. My golly. And the last, there's so many things that have happened since, I don't know, since I was little in the 50s. So many things have happened that I said would never happen in the Catholic Church. Couldn't happen, Donald. I don't know if you ever felt that way. How could that happen? And it's because we have been catechized weekly. You know, if you don't make an effort to know your faith and get catechized yourself by those that truly know the fullness of truth, and it is knowable. The truth is knowable. And we have to put effort into it sometimes because there is evil that is trying to distort the truth wherever it can.
And, you know, Greg, so, the scriptures, you know, the Old Testament warns us about those in authority that would lead astray the flock. But you look at Matthew chapter 45, chapter 24, verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master he has set over his household? Now, let me look at that. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, the Pope, whom Jesus has set over his church to give them their Eucharist at the proper time? Blessed is that servant, the Pope, whom Jesus finds, that servant whom, when Jesus comes, when he comes, will find so doing what he is called to do. Truly I say to you, Jesus will set him over all his possessions, that is the church. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to fall away from the apostolic teaching, the deposit of faith, and goes off course, the Lord of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the hypocrites. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. So this isn't just only for the Holy Father in Rome, but all bishops or all those in church authority. All of them are subject to judgment if they, you know, that's why we pray for our priests, that we pray for our bishops, we pray for our deacons, we pray for our seminarians, we pray for our priests, we pray for Pope Francis, and we pray for all the clergy around the world, because they are under this kind of attack.
Amen. And
I like what Greg is saying that if we think that we can stand up to the devil on our own power, to our own limitation, then like Peter, we can also fall. And that's why we must pray so that we will hold fast to the deposit of faith handed down by Jesus through his apostles and through the church. And that the devil, he really is trying to destroy. That's why he's known as the destroyer. Because he seeks. Now, he cannot defeat the church. He cannot defeat the Catholic Church. Jesus made three promises through the, to the Catholic Church that are binding, that the devil cannot touch. Jesus promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, that he would be with it always until he returns. And he gave it the Holy Spirit. And so, if we hang on, as St. Paul beckons us to do, to stand firm and hold fast, we will be fine. We will be all right. But we have to realize that we are under attack, and this is a battle. And so, this you know, Greg, this is so important. I'm glad that we're doing this.
Well, you know, if you look what envy, we're going to talk a little bit about envy, and that's what gets Satan up and going on so many things he does. Not only his envy but that initiated things, but also the envy we have as human beings, you know, which is a sadness that we might feel over someone having what I lack. You know, that started with Satan, who was sad because, you know, he was envious of God. He wasn't God, but he wanted to be God, and he wanted to be worshipped. And so, you know, it's a hatred, you know, and it's probably the first hatred that Satan had was envy, and we all fall to envy at some time in our lives if we're not very careful and led by the Holy Spirit. The devil became a devil because of envy. The devil envied God. Who does God think he is telling me what to do? Am I to submit to him? And that envy, as we know, once it was practiced by Lucifer and his followers, hell came into existence. There would be no hell except for envy. There would be no devil except for envy. And then, and I may have recommended this as a on a previous occasion, try to get a copy of a letter. It's about maybe 40 pages in ordinary size, and we're letting you know about that. The letter of St. Clement the First, Pope, who said to the Corinthians, and the letter of St. Clement.
97 AD.
Yep, to the Corinthians. The whole letter, dated about 90 AD, like Donald said, and for
97,
something among some people was considered part of the Bible, which it's not. But the whole letter is on envy. If there's one thing that I believe our Lord wants me to recommend to you, and that this is Father Hardin talking to you now, during this lecture on the devil, be sure to examine your conscience. Pardon me. Let's all of us examine our conscience on how much and how envy is still one of the major temptations of our lives. You know, do you think there was a little envy going on last night, Donald? From the people in San Francisco and the people in Las Vegas, you know.
A lot of us were sitting on the edge of our chairs, and we were praying. We were praying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women. And I mean, and then, I, you know, Mahomes. But, you know, Mahomes, you know, one thing I will say about Mahomes is when he came out, he thanked the Lord for the opportunity and the grace that he was given to be in the position that he was. And to me, that is.
I think it should have humbled him big time. For the first three quarters, he was not an MVP. You know, he would not have even been thought of as an MVP. Neither quarterback would have been thought as an MVP in that first three quarters. The only time that it was like we woke up was in that fourth quarter and the overtime, and how
it was good. And both quarterbacks. I mean, the losing quarterback for the 49ers, he also gave the Lord praise in defeat, and I think that was really good. I mean, both quarterbacks, I thought. That when you look at all the media attention surrounding it, it was contrary to Christian at all. And we, you know, my wife and I was watching something on this, on the news, something a news reporter was talking about this, how they had around the, you know, Los Angeles and all this, Las Vegas, they had all the satanic imagery that was going around out and about. And yet, despite that, in this darkness, the light was still able to shine. And that is the message to me. That is the message. And that's where we need to know our surroundings and understand our surroundings. And like I like, you know, to cope with, you know, to cope. So what Gigi and I did when it came to halftime, we just turned it down because we didn't want to listen to that rubbish and that garbage. That's what it is. Garbage in, garbage out. And so, and
I'm just so thankful.
I mean, years ago,
I'm so thankful at those points in time. I'm so thankful that I can't hear very well because I don't even know what they say.
Well, I read it. I looked at it. I mean, it's perverted. You don't want to know what they say. I'm talking about the, you know, that's, you know, because I, a long time ago, got into the Christian contemporary music. And I mean, it has meant a lot to me because it helps place things in my mind, which is supporting my faith and values. And that has a lot to me. That helps me a lot. And I'll play some of it on here on Deeper Truth during our radio shows every so often, as long as it's good Catholic music, like what we played earlier at the beginning of this show with Donna Corey Gibson, you know, about, you know, the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And praising our Lord in the Eucharist. That's what we led the show off with.
And
it's beautiful.
We're up against the next, and right now again, Donald, go ahead and read the next section on Christ's passion and death was a result of envy.
Okay, Christ's passion and death as a result of envy. And you mentioned about St. Clement. Goes through the whole Old Testament, one major calamity after another was the result of envy. And then the crowning calamity of the human race, God became man, and the devil tempted this man who claimed to be God. The devil wasn't sure. Christ, of course, repelled the devil. And before we go any further, the best single formula for resisting the devil is the example of Christ when he was tempted by the evil spirit. A course all by itself. Then they all wanted to make sure that Christ was put to death. So what did he do? He inspired the Jewish leaders, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, to what? To envy. Jesus Christ, Christ's passion and death was the result of envy. And so, or jealousy would be another good word there too. Jealousy, because they, you know, the miracles that Jesus did and showed himself to be who he is and was, they could not duplicate.
So this next section is going to give people hope. Go ahead and do that one, Donald.
The one infallible weapon to overcome the evil spirit is the cross. And we'll finish with this one, and then we'll start with part three on the next one.
Yeah, what is the one infallible weapon, Donald?
the cross.
Okay, go ahead.
As we read the rest of Scripture, the enemies of Christ among the chosen people thought we would be rid of this man who claimed to be God, but it didn't work. They killed him, and for the first 300 years, they did everything in their power to wipe out the Catholic faith. And before we go on much further with this course, let's make sure we know this. The one weapon, the one infallible weapon for overcoming the evil spirit is the cross, and how the devil is seduced, has seduced millions in our age to seek pleasure, more pleasure, and the last thing that millions want is pain or suffering. That's why, and I'm absolutely certain, that Dr. Kevorkian is possessed by the devil. No question whatsoever. He's definitely open to the devil, that's for sure. Why does the devil hate human beings? First of all, the devil hates God because God justly punished the devil. And this is the best definition for real demonic hatred. Hatred is the result of not only envying, but then hating the one who punishes you for your envy. In other words, the worst form of hatred is the hatred of the evil spirit who hates God. Why? Because God has justly punished the devil for his envy. He hates human beings. Therefore, that's the devil. First, because he envies what we all hope to attain, namely heaven. And he envies us for our redemption. Only God knows. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, makes much of this. God chose to become a man to redeem the human race. God never chose to become an angel to redeem the angelic race. How does the devil exercise his hatred? In other words, this is a summary of our course. Am I clear? We were to say more as we go along. And it is very useful, to put it mildly, to understand how the devil hates us. However, crucially important. Yet the devil's hatred is always subject to God's providence. I'm going to say that again. Yet the devil's hatred is always subject to God's providence. Amen to that, Greg.
Amen. I'm going to read the next sections, and then we'll save the rest for next week.
Okay.
We ask God, this is important, because it's going to start on part of the hope that we're trying to give you also. Even as evil is amongst us, and so much influencing the world in so many ways, it's continually got worse and worse. But what do we do? We go to prayer. We ask God to protect us from temptations. He foresees, this is God, foresees we would not be able to resist. He knows that on our own we can't. That's why we tell you, without the Holy Spirit, guys, you're cooked. We have to rely on God and his protection through the Holy Spirit, because he knows that we as individuals, those listening and me talking, would not be able to resist. And listen to this. Over the centuries, there have been more commentaries on the Lord's Prayer than any other single part of the New Testament. Here's how the saints explain the petition. Lead us not into temptation. What are we asking for in that petition of the Lord's Prayer? We're asking God to protect us from going into temptations which God foresees we would not be strong enough to resist. Let me repeat. All kinds of temptations. As we know, there are three principal sources of temptation: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when therefore we pray, lead us not into temptation, protect us, God. We ask God for these to be protected from these temptations that he foresees, we would not be able to resist. And this is where, oh, how I need to say this. I'll say much more as we go forward. But that's, we have to ask God to help us, because he knows that we're, every one of us, those that are listening and those that are talking to you tonight, we're all frail human beings. Without the Holy Spirit, without God's help, we would fall to Satan and his temptations. No doubt about that. And that's not maybe, it's 100% of us, all of us would fall without God's help. And that's why we ask him. That's why we say that one of the prayers we say all the time is the Our Father. You know, so we're going to get into something that gets some of the different ways and tools and the dupes that Satan uses next week. Who is here on earth that is being used as a dupe of Satan right now to trick you or lie to you and cause you to believe things that are not true? And you will do it. There's people, I mean, you know, where there's, how many is there, 330 million people in the United States, Donald, or something like that? If that's the case, a minimum of 165 million people, minimum, you know, are duped by Satan because of a conspiracy against truth. And I would suggest the number is much higher than half of 330 million people. I think it's even higher than 165 million people. But I'm just saying, if it was half, that's 165 million people that are being duped by Satan continuously. And all of us take some of that, you know, we can all be tricked and we all have to pray about it. So, and God sees how weak each of us are. Remember that. Pray every day about that. Ask St. Michael to just give you strength, and ask the good Lord for his Amen. Help. Ask Mary for help. He gives us so many tools to use, and so many times people think, well, I already know that. No, he can't bother me. Well, he's already on his way to bothering you if you're able to just think you can do it because you're smarter or in your flesh or something. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And of the world, flesh, and devil, I look at money, sex, and power, so powerful temptations against people. I've had it in my life. So, anyway.
Donald, Greg, there are those who are caught in the eyes. They are caught in the eye of the storm. And so, Greg and I, we pray for those who are suffering from addictions, from the sin of envy, from suicide. We pray for deliverance from the spirit of additions, envy, suicide, and abortion. And I'm going to play this song here, Greg, and I want you to let me know what you think, because it's dealing exactly with what we're talking about. And great, Jesus did send us the sign, the Eucharist, at every Mass. He lifts us up. But God bless you, Greg, and thank you so much.
God bless you, and I look forward to next week with you. And,
definitely.
May the good Lord bless you, and pray go before the school board tomorrow night. So pray about that. And then
okay,
we have a
definitely.
Big conference coming up this next week.
There in Marshall?
Uh-huh, yeah. Just trying to, in my mind, trying to make a prototype that we can send to other schools.
Okay. Both Catholic and public. That'd be great.
Yep. Both of them need it, even though public schools need it more. We're going to go to a public high school and, district people and school board and try to give them a little wake-up call. So, anyway, love and prayers, brother. God bless you and everyone
okay.
out there.
Amen. God bless everybody
talk
out there.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender, where we examine the truths of our faith and why we believe it. Our guest host tonight has been Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. It is our hope that after listening to this program, your faith is strengthened and you can truly say,
I believe in miracles.
Please be sure and join us next time when Dr. Thompson brings you an in-depth examination of a Eucharistic miracle, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.